If you love Florida, then you must know about Randy Wayne White, the acclaimed New York Times bestselling author. He is, I think, on number 27, number 28. One Deadly Eye comes out June 4th. You know, they say that Randy Wayne White is a world-class storyteller, and he pulls out all the stops with this Category 5 thriller. In this one, Doc Ford, not the restaurant, the character Doc Ford that the restaurant is named over, must stop a gang of thieves, and worse, during the 12 hours of chaos that followed the passing of a storm's eye. Well, with me today is one of my favorite book people, the book big Margot Hammond, former book editor, writer, journalist. We met Randy Wainwright at Doc Ford's, and she's going to share a little bit of a preview about the book. Welcome, Margot.
Thanks for inviting me.
Dish, what is going on in One Deadly Eye coming out June 4th?
Well, when I picked up this book, of course, the title is One Deadly Eye, so I assumed it was about the hurricane, and of course it is. It's set at the time of Hurricane Ian, although Ian is never mentioned until the very end of the book, and then it's not the hurricane that's named Ian, it's a secret agent. This is very Randy Wayne White. He embeds in his novels and thrillers and mysteries all sorts of hints at Floridiana. So what happens in this is that, yes, we have first the thriller, the tension of a Florida hurricane about to devastate Sanibel, which, of course, was based on a true story. And Randy Wayne White, as he told us when we met him at Doc Ford, actually was on the island during Hurricane Ian. So this is firsthand reportage. But, of course, Randy Wayne White can't just have, that's his, not his only thriller. There are many deadly eyes in this book, I discovered. And as you mentioned, this band of thieves. And you have not met a band of criminals like these criminals. I think that Randy must have had enormous fun writing this book. These are first-class villains. The Vulture Monk, who is a necrophiliac who'd escaped from a prison in Russia. There's Dimitri, who is an insurance agent. I'd love to ask Randy what he's got against insurance agents, because this one's a doozy. And many, many others. And they're all named Donald Orlando. That's their cover name. So the Donald appears quite a few times in this novel.
Oh, you think Randy was taking a pot shot?
Again, he embeds all sorts of jokes and innuendos. For example, he has a dog named Pete. And it's very obviously that he's named him after Peter Matheson, the famed author. He has, in and out of the book, is he weaves actual historic facts and, of course, his wonderful imagination of this band of Russian criminals who come to the island to loot the millionaire row. And I also would love to ask him whether or not this actually happens after hurricanes. I would think some form of it must happen. That criminals realize these houses are abandoned, evacuated, and they swoop down. And that's basically the story plot. But there's so many twists and turns. And just when you think people are safe, you know, he has bands of coyotes coming down. He has red ants invading.
It's like the 12 plagues.
It's like
Passover.
Like Passover. And one thing that I found the most striking in this novel is that he contrasts, everybody's trying to survive. I mean, that's what happens after a hurricane. And in some ways, a hurricane puts us down to the level of survival that we, you know, our civilization is stripped away. And what happens really is that you see natural Florida and the natural survival of creatures, and then you see humans trying to survive. And he contrasts this high-tech technology that is used by, it turns out, a certain agent who's been embedded on the island. I also don't know whether he's made up this technology, but it's quite amazing that he zaps people and sort of liquidates their ears and eyeballs.
Sounds like Cuba. Sounds like the things that happen in Cuba. You know, there, and Randy doesn't ever make anything up completely. He does his research.
Some level of truth there. And then, of course, on the other hand, there are these wild creatures, including his dog, Pete, who joins the coyotes. Pete is a little half coyote himself. And creatures... because he, of course, Doc Ford is a marine biologist. Creatures are definitely characters in this book, as usual.
you know, one of the things that, of course, all of his books, like Carl Hyacin, are environmental, sustainable. Please don't screw up our Florida natural. He had an uncle who was trying to find the Fountain of Youth in one of his previous books, his earlier books. But he is a fishing and a nature enthusiast, Margot, and he wrote extensively for National Geographic and Men's Journal. And he lived in Sanibel until he moved up here towards Bradenton, where he was a light tackle fishing guide. For many years, he still spends time windsurfing and hanging out at dock fords. But quite honestly, his books are really an homage to old Florida, integrity of human beings who are not corrupted by the growth of Florida. Don't you find that to be true in this book as well?
In this book as well, absolutely. The one thing, though, is that, and I've noticed this, you know, and this is a nod to John D. McDonald, who everybody nods to when they read A Mystery in Florida, is that there is an element of the sort of old boys network in this novel. He always has very strong women characters. Mrs. Laszlo is an amazing character in this. She's a wife of a Hungarian gypsy. She's one of the people that the Russians are targeting to steal. She has a Rauschenberg collection. So, but she's an amazingly strong character. Hannah Smith, his fiancée, is also a very strong character, and her mother is my favorite character. She's an 80-year-old old Floridian, and she basically has a showdown with the vulture monk, the ultra villain. So he has very strong women characters, but in the end, Doc Ford always ends up by himself. Now, I don't want to give away the ending, but the ending kind of broke my heart, I have to say.
It's kind of cowboy meets fishing meets old Florida, right? Mm-hmm. You know, funny thing, Margo, you and I have been in the book world for a long time. A prospective agent told Randy, don't quit your day job. Unaware that I no longer had a day job. And he just, it wasn't the first time he had made a bumbling decision, he says, and he pushed ahead without a safety net. And he'd sold some stories to a few magazines. But 6 months later, he finished Sanibel Flats, the first novel that he felt was good enough to attach his real name because he had done pseudonyms. And like you and I, he sent it off, and amazingly, it was the first. There's 27 Doc Ford novels later. The new one is the 28th. And he still marvels at how the fishing community loves his stuff, guides love his stuff, fishing people come to his book signings. And Dinkins Bay Marina, with his sidekick Tomlinson, has become quite famous. And Tomlinson is kind of, tell us about Tomlinson.
Well, in this book, it's also, this is another mystery he laden's in this book, because Tomlinson takes off in the very beginning of the book. So he's not in the book. Throughout the book, Doc is trying to get a hold of him. He is not sure where he's taken his Nomas sailing boat, which everyone knows about if they've read the books. And in the end, it's a mystery. We don't know where Tomlinson is. But we think Tomlinson was based on my friend, Terry Tomlin, who was a colleague of mine at the St. Pete Times. Because he has that very gentle soul, and they used to fish together a lot.
Well, he nodded when we asked him, right? So, you know, a lot of people ask, are the characters in the Doc Ford novels based on real people? One of my favorite characters is the one who, Graham Mailer, who really did live on a Morgan sailboat, Nomas, off the docks. Mac really did run a marina during the years that Randy guided at Tarpon Bay on Sanibel. And so that's amazing. Bill Spaceman Lee doesn't share a kind of kindred relationship with Tomlinson. Other than that, it's all fictional. If someone
he also puts twists on, like Mac has his place is called Grin and Barrett, and it's a nudist colony. I don't think that's true, because I've been to Sanibel many times and I've never heard of it.
All right,
but he always puts a nice, interesting twist on the people. I think he does. He writes the books so that people who know Sanibel can recognize Bailey's store and various places in the place, but then he also describes it so amazingly. So if you've never been to Sanibel, you feel like you've been there when you read the book.
And in his earlier books, in the initial five or six, he talks a lot about Tampa and St. Pete, and he talks about Passagrill. And, you know, so it, what's wonderful is that if you love Florida, then you're sort of having a murder mystery, you know, thriller set in Florida. If you don't love Florida, you're going to want to move here, go fishing with Randy, explore this life and the crazy creatures and people that live here, right?
But I do want to say that above all, what I enjoy about Randy Wainwright's books are his writing. And I want to read you a passage. It's very short, just before the hurricane hits in the book. So it's very early on, so I'm not giving anything away. Outside was the darkness of 1,000 years, a Florida that no longer existed. Trilling frogs, crickets, mask wave that crashed 8 seconds apart. A lone exception was the historic lighthouse, a distant rotating beacon that ricocheted off low clouds. The storm was out there, 4 hours from landfall. I mean, you're in this thrilling, this is coming, and you know, he's just a beautiful writer.
He has ambient sound. He mm-hmm. has scent. He is truly a movie in a book. You feel it. It's sensorown, don't you think?
Yeah, it's amazing they haven't made movies out of Doc Ford.
I don't know. But let me tell you something. So One Deadly Eye coming out June 4th. We are so delighted to announce that Randy Wainwright will be in St. Petersburg at Doc Ford Jungle Terrace on June 2nd at 3 o'clock. Then he will be downtown at the pier in the Sunshine City June 3rd. And then a really big deal, he'll be June 3rd, Tombolo Books at Creative Coastal. It's just talking to him. He's bigger than life. He is so humble. And listen, you'll get to hear excerpts from the book. Run, Don't Walk. One Deadly Eye, and all of his books. Go to the library, go to the bookstore. Margot, thank you so much for talking about Randy Wainwright. We look forward to our next talk about a new book.